I really like your video today on the different stick of.
I don't know if it is or not.
Oh, don't worry.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. Did you notice the blade was flat on the ice? That's the difference, right?
If it's different, I think it is. I stared at him for like 15 minutes, and I was like, am I seeing things? Because sometimes you think you see something, and then everything after that, you're convincing yourself, or you're second-guessing yourself. So I don't know the answer. And I was going to ask Tip, and I thought,
The other thing is, what he uses in the morning skate might not still use in a game yet, right? He might be getting used to it, right? I know goalies sometimes when they're breaking in pads, they'll wear it in the morning, but then they don't use it at the game. So we'll see how it goes. But it's really going to be easy to see because I've got lots of still shots. You can just measure it to see if it's a different or a lie. But are you surprised that Neil is out and Shore is in?
Am I surprised? I mean, I don't think James Neil is going to be an everyday guy under Tippett in this season. He hasn't been. We've seen Tip use James Neal in different ways. So it's funny, not many guys are on the first unit power play and struggle to stay in the lineup, but that's just where James Neal is at. Because I think of all the net front players on the power play, I prefer him. I think he's been most efficient and does the best job there consistently. But that power play's got so many weapons that there are other people that can step in there. So Neil's just not an everyday guy. I mean, he pulled him out after a two-goal game. I'm telling you, they had a chat at practice before, which one was it? It was the day in Montreal. And I was like a 7 or 8 minute chat just standing there on the ice. And I know coaches talk to players all the time. That was different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I asked Tippett about it, he just sat down talking about what we expect from him tonight because he'd gone in on the top line. And about his game and his role on the team. And he didn't elaborate beyond that, and I didn't expect him to, but I think this is going to be a different experience for James Neal this year because I think this is going to be the way it is.
So what do you think that he would need to do to bring that, just to be an everyday player? Or is it not in the cards at all for him?
Well, I mean, it would be in the cards, Studs, if he... I don't want to say there's nothing he can do to be an everyday guy because I don't think that's realistic either. Sometimes I think it could be matchup related. There are certain things that James Neal is just not. And depending on what kind of look you want your bottom six forwards to have, might not be the right fit. You might not like the way that line is going to match up against another team's line. I don't know if that's the case tonight against the Winnipeg Jets or not. I just know Dave Tippett likes speed in his bottom six. He likes to have fast lines that play hard and drive play and can push the pace of games. That's just not James Neal's game. So maybe against a certain opponent, he's going to err on the side of having more speed in his lineup. And Shore is not the fastest guy out there, but he does bring more speed to the lineup. And that's why I think when Gaetan Haas gets back, we'll really see how much he defers to speed in his bottom six. You know, I say that, and yet Nygaard has been not very often used. So I don't know.
Well, I think the reason Shore is in is for penalty killing, right? And so I think it's going to come down to guys, Neil or Chiasson eventually, because Neil can play the right side. He actually has always said he feels more comfortable on the right side, even though he's a left shot. And, you know, Chiasson and him, neither one's on the penalty kill, and they're both on the power play. And I think ultimately it's going to kind of come down between those two guys and who gets the PP time and basically who's going to be in the lineup. And you're right, Shogger, about Haas, because when he comes back, I think we could see Turris move to the wing potentially.
Yeah. The thing, too, if you recall, I'm just checking my notes. I can't remember which Winnipeg game it was. But you guys remember the Winnipeg game where the Jets' third line just absolutely chewed the Oilers up? I'll be really interested to see that matchup tonight. Now that the Oilers have a functional third line that can bring some different dynamics into the competition, it'll be really interesting to see how he deploys that third line, if maybe he's looking at a matchup there against the Lowry line, and how that will look. Because they have this at their disposal now, which they didn't before. And so I'm just really curious to see how those lines will have an impact on the game. The Lowry line and the Kara line in tonight's game.
So I've seen you talk about that before as you're joined by Ryan Rashok from TSN, that the Kara line is now the third line. What, you know, is that just
that's been for like 10 days?
You think it is? Because I don't think their minutes are that much different between the two lines, are they?
And I'm not even basing it on minutes. I'm just basing it on how they're playing and how I think the coach feels about them and how he uses them. I view that as the third line. I mean, the minute Kara came in and gave him two good games, he was the third center. And he was looking for a mix on the wings. And when you look at the line, when they were going 7D, which line did he leave someone off of? Right? It was Turris. Well, it wasn't Kara.
Right. Right.
So, to me, that's the best indication right there. When they go 7D, which line's shorthanded? Well, it's the fourth line. I think that, honestly, the minute that line put together two good games, they were immediately the third line on this team. That's just where the bar is. They have not had a usable line in their bottom six until now. This is the first time. And so, yeah, they're 100% they are, and they have been for a while.
Yeah, no question. You just look at their minutes 5-on-5. They've been playing 3-4 minutes more the last few games, and they've been infinitely more effective. And the other thing, Strutty, is you just look at how he's using them. They get a lot more defensive zone starts, where Turris gets more offensive zone starts. And, Dave Tippett, gave us a really good answer about what he likes about Jujhar Carey. He feels like below the hash marks, that's where he's the best in the defensive zone. He really helps and leans on guys. He has the most poise with the puck there. And they had a lot of D-zone starts the last few games, but turned that into offensive zone time, which is even more impressive. Ethan Bear is getting closer. Jones, Russell, still not in as Slater Cuckoo stays in for this. When Ethan Bear is back, Shogger, because I know yesterday at practice, Bouchard was playing with Bear. And today it's Slater Cuckoo. But was that a tip of the hat, do you think, by Dave Tippett? Is Bouchard the guy who's going to slide over and play with Ethan Bear?
Well, I mean, they had a bunch of guys out for practice, and they wanted to do some game scenario stuff, and so you need to have some pairings. I think that he's probably considering it. I think before you just go ahead and do it in a game, you probably want to give a guy a few practices to get a feel for it. I think Bouchard has the intelligence level to do it, doesn't have the experience at this level, but he's a smart player, and he's moving well this year. I think more than anything, he has two other pairings that he doesn't want to mess with.
Yeah.
Nurse and Barry have been exceptional together. And Larson and Lagesson have really come into their own as a good, solid, shutdown defensive pairing. And I just don't think he wants to muck about with either of those two pairings. And so Bouchard's been playing well enough to stay in the lineup. Ethan Bear should be in when he's healthy. Well, there's two righties right there. See if he can fix the problem with one of those two, and then you don't have to mess with the other pairings. I think that makes some sense.
Who did he put on the left side there, Shogger?
Well, he had Bouchard there at practice yesterday. He said that Bouchard had done a little bit of it in the past. I think Ethan Bear coming back after missing a bunch of games doesn't need to be dealing with that on top of it. So I would say that the odds are on Evan Bouchard to go in. Maybe they go with another 7-man D unit. Maybe he sees what he gets from his fourth line, and if it's not much, maybe when Bear's ready to come back, he throws another lefty in there just in case as a seventh and can adjust on the fly if need be and then swap back and forth and not force someone to do it for a full game if it's not going well. But I think Bouchard got the early look for a full practice. It makes sense to me that you would do that with the guy you're considering doing it with.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. Reiner Schock from TSN joins us. So, Schocker, Mike Smith has played great in his two starts. Do you think he's splitting this series regardless of how he plays tonight?
I think he's splitting the series regardless. They got a back-to-back coming up, right? Friday, Saturday, Calgary?
Yeah.
So, I don't know that he needs to. I mean, if Mike Smith goes in and plays great, mm-hmm. then you know Mikko Koskinen is getting a start coming up here right away, and you could easily justify going Smith for two in a row and then giving Koskinen the first of the back-to-backs to sort of maintain your rotation. You could say, well, Koskinen's played a ton. Smith's getting up and running. We like the way he's playing, so we're giving him the extra look, but we know Koskinen's getting in there in the back-to-back. I think the back-to-back coming up leaves it wide open for you to be able to just, if you feel like you can run the hot hand here a little bit, because Smith, it's only two games, but he's been playing great. If he plays really well again tonight, well, now you got a guy who's feeling it and who's had plenty of rest. And so I think if he continues to be the hot hand, you can easily start him in these two games and then flip-flop for Friday, Saturday.
joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the Edmonton Oilers. He's from TSN. You know, it sounds like Mark Bergeron said Cole Caulfield's going to probably leave college and join them after this year. It's the second year in Wisconsin. Do you think that affects or maybe could influence Dylan Holloway after his season of college to maybe turn pro for the next year?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, he's putting up really, really good numbers. I got to know his game a lot better watching him closely at the World Juniors. I think there's a lot there. I don't know if I were Dylan Holloway, I would be rushing it in the way that Cole Caulfield is pushing his way through college here. I think that Cole Caulfield has some things he can lean back on, fall back on at the next level that Dylan Holloway doesn't have quite the same amount of, just pure ridiculous offensive abilities. Holloway's a good offensive player. He's putting up great numbers where he's playing. But at the next level, he's going to rely on some different stuff, I think, to keep himself there. And I don't think that they should be rushing it with Dylan Holloway at all. I think they should let him experience this incredible success that he's experiencing, make an informed decision at the time, but I don't necessarily view the trajectory being the same. Do you guys?
Rushing guys, not a big fan at all. I don't, Cole Caulfield, he'll be 20 years of age, when next season begins. And well, he turned 20 already this year, but it's kind of his 20th year, right? When next season begins. And, you know, they're technically the same birth year, just later in the year. But, I'm with Rashog. And I think with Ken Holland at the helm, I think you're going to see less rushing. You could have him play 3 years of college. He comes out. He can come out at the end of next season, if he likes, and play then, and then be somebody consider the next year. He's a full year older, stronger, more confident. You know, he's got a coach in Tony Granata who I think understands little details of a player's game to make him more pro ready. And he could do that there. So I would if I'm his advisor, I'm telling him not to leave.
And why, I mean, so they've taken a patient approach with a few people. Ryan McLeod could have easily taken a run early in this year at a few games. And the way he skates and the way he moves, I mean, he'd have been competitive with some of the other guys in the lower part of the lineup, but they were committed to a development trajectory with him. So if you're going to do that with a guy that, you know, basically would be competing for similar ice time and similar minutes, why rush the other guy? Like, they gave Ryan McLeod the extra year here, let him develop into it and see if he pushes for a spot and likely grabs one next year. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's a year older when you got Holloway coming in his first year. And I just think that I agree with you, Greg. I think there's a trajectory that Ken Holland views in these players, and it's great. Just because guys are having success at lower levels doesn't mean they're ready to all of a sudden have success at the NHL. There's a natural progression to it, and I like the patience. Broberg will be an interesting one, here over the next 10 months with this team too, to see, you know, how his season finishes up, how he looks, and if he's ready to be a fixture next year or not. Or if they want to commit to different young guys in the lineup and continue to let that development percolate.
Shogger, enjoy the game tonight. Should be an interesting one to see the Jets. And Hellebuck, he's starting, of course, up against Mike Smith.
Sounds good. Oh, by the way, did you guys hear Draisaitl's comments on his overall game today?
No, I did not.
Really, really interesting comments from Leon Draisaitl today talking about the steps that he chose to take in his overall two-way game, how the team wasn't having the success that he wanted them to have, that he wanted to do absolutely everything in his power to help the team have more success, and he absolutely felt that he wanted and needed to be better in all areas of the game, and so he's taking a lot of pride in it and decided that that's, you know, he needed, as brilliant as he is in so many areas of the game, he needed to look in the mirror and up the ante a little bit for himself in that part of the game. So it was interesting comments for Draisaitl, and I'm glad he said it, not any reporters, because if reporters suggested they could run out of town.
Well, here's a question for you. Right now, today, through the first 16 games, who would you have as the Oilers MVP?
Yeah, well, oof. I mean, he's been great. McDavid's been absolutely phenomenal as well. I mean, flip a coin, bud. Like, they've both just been off
that's,
the chart.
That's not the question. Who are you taking?
It'd be one of those two. I mean, I know how good Nurse has been, too. But these guys are setting ridiculous pace. Yeah, I know, probably Draisaitl. Probably Draisaitl.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You? I agree. Draisaitl for sure, just because I think his defensive game, his face-offs, you know, his you know, goals for, against, on the ice, everything else. And because you have to pick one, and it's a great conversation to have, and it doesn't mean that I think Draisaitl is better than McDavid, but through the 16 games, I think he's had a more impactful impact on the games at both ends.
I'm not suggesting, and never did, that they lost that series because of anything to do with their defensive games. But the idea that those two, there are still steps that they can take in their game and that this team will benefit dramatically if and when they do, is not a crazy idea, and it never has been. And we're watching Draisaitl take that step, and it is so good for this team. So good for this team, because they're on the ice so much. Every little improvement they make in any corner of their game has a dramatic impact. And it was just interesting listening to Draisaitl talking about it today, because it's precisely the point that was made after that series against Chicago. When analyzing their play specifically, not the reason they lost the series, but their play specifically, there was a maturation and a step that was needed from those two that would help this group in a certain way. And just listen to Draisaitl today. Run the clip if you can. It's basically precisely what he says.
Schauger, we'll talk to you at the game. Have a good one.
Okay, boys. See ya.